Pastor Jeff speaks of a sure foundation to build our lives upon.
We're to be building our house upon the Word of God. That's why we need to know it. That's why we need to be studying it. That's why we need to be building our lives on it. For it speaks of everything for the future, for our lives, here and later. So yes, we're going to put importance upon Bible study and knowing the Word of God because of what Jesus says, because we want a sure foundation.
Your Spirit leads me on, and I'm running after you. I'll leave behind the worthless lies, and I'm trading them for priceless truth.
Each of us are building our lives on something or someone. The question is, are you a wise or foolish builder? Today on Sound Doctrine, we'll come to understand that Jesus is our rock, a solid foundation to build a life upon. Anything else is sinking sand. Pastor Jeff Johnson is at the tail end of the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 7. If you need to leave us early, just go to oneplace.com or listen wherever you get your podcasts. And now, here's Pastor Jeff with part two of Are You Wise or Foolish?
A foolish man never faces the nature of sin and its effects. He doesn't want to talk about it. He doesn't want to go there. He avoids God's truths. They make him feel a little uneasy and convicted. He runs from what is called sin talk. What do you mean? Oh, wretched man that I am. Paul, lighten up, dude, you know? What are you doing calling yourself, oh, wretched man, in this body of death? I don't want to hear about it. Don't tell me about it. I don't want to hear that kind of stuff. I ain't no wretched man. I'm not walking around in a body of death. Well, that's what the Bible says. Why won't you face up to it? Why are you running? He wants God's blessing again without knowing Christ and him crucified. He doesn't worship, he doesn't seek, he doesn't serve the Lord because, you see, he's building on sinking sand. But the wise man seeks to do God's will. And I'm not talking about works here, guys. It has nothing to do with works. We're not saved by works. But James did say, I will show you my faith by my works. You see, it's a faith that works, that's foundational. So he that hears these things and does them. Over in Revelation chapter 1, just mark it down. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 3, listen to what John says. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein. Whoa. You want a blessing? You read them? And yet what? Keep them. Read them and keep them. Interesting. Deuteronomy chapter 5, way back in verse 1, he says, and Moses called all Israel and said to them, hear, O Israel, in the statutes and the judgments which I speak in your ears this day, that you may learn them and keep and do them. So he's talking about not just, you know, just for the fun of it, I thought I'd write the Bible. No, it's a roadmap. It gives us the direction. We're to be building our house upon the Word of God. That's why we need to know it. That's why we need to be studying it. That's why we need to be building our lives on it. For it speaks of everything for the future, for our lives, here and later. So yes, we're going to put importance upon Bible study and knowing the Word of God. Because of what Jesus says. Because we want a sure foundation. Faith without works is void. Interesting. Well, I agree. You know, and you might agree all through the message this morning. And yet you go out and you don't live it. So you go ahead and intellectually agree with it, but are you living it? And that's what he's saying. Had the appearance, but you were full of self and seeking only what you wanted out of the whole thing, instead of just saying, not my will, but thine be done. Now, the wise man is the man that is poor in spirit. He mourns about sin. He cares about these things. He walks humbly before his God. But the foolish person, he's not meek, and he's not trembling. He's not concerned about these things. Over in 1 John in chapter 1 in verse 6, listen to what he says. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Over in chapter 2 of 1 John in verse 4, he that saith, I know him, and keeps not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Now, what are these supposed to be doing in our hearts? Checking us. Are you building your house on a rock or on sinking sand? Is it a reality? The wise man, it says in Peter, 1 Peter 2, 9, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praise of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So there's this, that showing praise unto the Lord. There's that testimony in your life. And then over in, again, 1 John chapter 3, in verse 3, and every man that has this hope in him purifies himself even as he is pure. He's walking in holiness before the Lord, seeking the things of God and righteousness in his life. I think the true test that you're a wise man is this, and that is that you embrace this Sermon on the Mount. You embrace it and you take it in. You say yes to it. The foolish man hates it. Says, you can't do that. There's no way. That's for the kingdom age. That's not for today. And he rejects it. Why? Because it condemns, it convicts, it examines. But the wise man loves the word. Listen to what I'm saying. Loves the word. That's the wise man. So right there, we're checked, aren't we? Do you love the word? He says it's true. The word is true. He confesses and admits that he's unworthy. That's why he walks humbly. He hungers and thirsts for righteousness, knowing that as he does that, he will be filled. Matthew 5, 6. Melt me, mold me, fill me, use me, is what he cries out. He longs to be a sacrifice. He sings that song, you know, that we sing about, to be like him. That's my only prayer. Just to be like Jesus. I want to be like him. I want to be changed by the power of the Holy Spirit. And I know that it doesn't happen until I get into the Word and the Word gets into me and I love the Word and I begin to walk in the Word and the Word is ministering to me. This is a solid foundation. He understands the law. He understands the law. It's not, well, thou shalt not commit adultery. I haven't done that. Have you lusted? I don't want to talk about it. No, he understands. Adultery, lust, you've done it. Repent. He's not a show-off, the wise man. He doesn't set his affections on those things that are on the earth, but he sets his affections on those things above. He's not judgmental. He doesn't condemn, but he discerns. He's wise. Remember, Jesus talked about that. Thou shalt not judge. Okay, fine. But he discerns. He doesn't seek to remove the sliver out of his brother's eye because he's too, you know, into trying to get the log out of his own. See, he understands who he is and what he is in Christ. That he's a sinner saved by grace. It makes all the difference in the world, doesn't it? As you minister, as you love. This wise man is merciful, he's loving, he's gracious, he's kind. He's passionate about holiness. He's passionate about righteousness, about serving and giving God all the glory. That's where his head's at. Because he's in the Sermon on the Mount. And the Sermon on the Mount is in him. This is the rock. Jesus is our rock. His sayings, his teachings, that's what he's talking about. Anything else is sinking sand, and the house is going to collapse. In fact, over in Hebrews chapter 12, in verse 14, he says, "Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord." Wow, now that's a heavy statement. Go after holiness. And if you don't have holiness in your life, you will never see the Lord. Wow. But Jesus goes on, he says, the storms are going to come and the house and the man is going to be tested. They probably built in the summertime and everything was dry and you looked at the land and it looked fine. It looked solid. You go like that, it's solid, okay? Build it. And there was no investigation because you got to get it together. We got to build it. But he didn't think. And it's all about the practical, really, when you look at it. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, if you have not love, you have what? If you don't have love, you have what? Nothing. It's real practical, isn't it? Down to, you got love? Is there love in your heart? Is Jesus in your heart? To do the will of the Father, to hear and to do these things, or you have nothing, and great will be the fall of that house. You see, religion is not only wrong, it's of no value. Listen to what I just said. Religion is not only wrong, it's of no value. It appears okay on the outward, but in the end, it can't and will not stand. And great was the fall of that house. I think there are many today in the church, listen, that are living in a fool's paradise. Thinking that they can live in both worlds and thinking that they can play church or play, you know, have religion on the side. It's a great deception, isn't it? One of Satan's best. But you need to wake up because you're being deceived and you're going to lose everything if you don't wake up to the deception that you were in. What you believe in will not help you in the hour of need. Do you remember the man who had the barns and he says, I got to build bigger barns and I need bigger and more and more. And then finally, he said, there was a voice that came to him, you fool. Don't you know that your soul is going to be required of you this day? And are you going to take any of this with you? No. You're going to leave it all behind. You fool. You built your house on sinking sand and you're going to lose everything. Man, what a message. And then he talks about the rain. He talks about the flood. He talks about the winds. Interesting. Three tests. You know, the world, the flesh, and the devil. Warfare, trials, the rain, which is interesting. The Bible says the rain comes down on what? The just and the unjust, right? But really, when you look at this whole thing, I think it kind of answers the question, why does bad things happen to good people? I think there's a book about that, isn't there? Trying to explain the whole thing. You know, I know the answer. The answer is, it never happens. Bad things happen to bad people, and we're a bunch of bad people.
I'm not bad. What are you talking about?
Well, Romans chapter 3 says there are no righteous, no, not one, not one good. No one seeks after God, no one. Interesting. I think the answer to that is with what Jeremiah wrote in Lamentations, as he wrote in chapter 3 and verse 22. Listen to what he says. He says, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. You see, it really gets down to bad things happen to bad people. So guess what? You're living in a bad world. You're a bad person, so bad things are going to happen to you. If I'm in the Lord, am I still a bad person? Well, no, God has had mercy upon you. Will bad things still happen to you? Yeah. It will? Yeah. You're going to go through it. Because you're living in an imperfect world, a sinful world. So I think the question needs to be, you know, the amazing thing is, why do good things happen to bad people? And it's because the scripture says it. I love it. These are foundational truths, guys. Hang on to this. God is good. That's why good things happen to bad people. Aren't you glad? God is good. And let me add one more. This is a foundational truth. God is love. Isn't that great? Sometimes, you know, things, the rain's coming down, the storm's hitting you, and all you can grab hold of is that God is good and God is love. That's enough. That'll get you through it. But the rain, and it happens to everyone. And don't think it's strange concerning the fiery trial, which is about ready to try you or prove you, as some strange thing. When sickness hits or loss takes place, or there's disappointment that comes into your life, or you are let down, or you are grieving. I've been let down in my life. I've had individuals who I thought were my friends let me down. It takes place, doesn't it? It's not easy to swallow. It's tough, and it might leave you hanging, but you got to get through it, and you will get through it if you are built upon the rock, because you're just going to go back to the sayings, to the teachings of the Lord, and you're going to rejoice, and you're going to see God do his thing, because remember, he's the rock. It's not me doing it. It's not me having to do really anything but just to build my life upon those teachings and what he's talking about. And to believe it. And then the floods come to test us. Worldliness, the lust of the flesh, it consumes you sometimes. The lust of the eyes, the pride of life. They come to draw us, to drive us. You kind of wonder, will my anchor stay? Is it deep within the things of God and the Word of God? Will I be able to hold up this flood that is coming upon me? And then the winds of compromise, adversity, they beat against the house, against the life, the attacks of the enemy, the spiritual warfare that's real, the doubts, the denials, the thoughts. I love what Paul says in Ephesians 6 when he's talking about spiritual warfare. And then he adds in verse 13, he says, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in that evil day, that time that these things come to you. And having done all, to stand. What are you going to stand in? You're going to stand in the Word of God. The armor of God in his righteousness, his salvation for your life. The truths of the gospel. The belt of truth. That's a solid foundation. And then eventually death will come. The final storm, isn't it? Yet, when we look in the scriptures, It's the ultimate servant to the Christian. It ushers us right into the presence of the Lord. Death. And we're to run to him. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. I love this psalm I was looking at the other day in Psalm 37. The promises there are so amazing, so awesome. He says in Psalm 37, starting with verse 5, commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him. He'll bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for him. Fret not yourself. Don't worry. Just rest in the Lord. He'll bring it to pass. And then over in Psalm 112 in verse 7, he says, he shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He shall not be afraid. Again, there's a foundation that's incredible here. And then Isaiah adds to this in that he says in Isaiah 28, verse 16, therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. And that is what Jesus is talking about when he talks about the rock. I am the rock. Cast yourself on the stone, and you're going to be blessed. But if you don't, that stone will grind you to powder. He'll become the judge of your life. I've always said this, and I believe it. 10 out of 10 die. We're all going to die. There is the end, flood, the end of the trial, the end of your life. And it's a fact, but are we ready? Are you on the rock? Jesus is saying, don't rely on your religious activity, your outward things that you do or you say, as that is something that's going to save you. No, start checking out in your life that you not only hear these things, but you are actually doing them as far as the teachings of the Lord. I love that scripture in Proverbs where he says, trust in the Lord. Rely upon him. Cling to him. Adhere to him. With all of your heart, lean not to your own understanding. Acknowledge him at all times. Should he be in every one of your trials and tribulations that you go through? He should be the center of it. You should be grounded upon. You should be calling out to him at all times. And the promise is he will direct what? Our paths. I love that part. I'm in his hands. And he'll take care of the situation. May God help us to not be deceived, but to choose wisely. To see the importance of God's word in our lives and getting into our lives. And not be deluded, but be hungering and thirsting after righteousness.
Are you a wise or foolish builder? After listening to what Jesus has to say on the matter, we hope you have a clear understanding of how to build your life on the right foundation. And if you haven't been, today would be a good day to switch your building plans to that solid foundation. Pastor Jeff Johnson is developing a study in Matthew on sound doctrine. Get today's study on CD when you call us toll-free at 800-353-7553. The suggested donation is $5. Again, 800-353-7553. You can also replay any message that you enjoy at sounddoctrineradio.org and listen to Pastor Jeff through the Sound Doctrine podcast, wherever you get your podcasts. We're also on oneplace.com. Marijuana, self-realization, meditation, self-hypnosis, psychedelic drugs, yoga. Jeff Johnson tried all of that and more in his search for the clear light. But it wasn't until he met Jesus that his life truly changed, and he experienced life and light. In his book, The Seeker, you'll hear this amazing testimony, and I think you'll be left greatly encouraged and thankful. We're offering The Seeker right now at sounddoctrineradio.org. You can also call us at 800-353-7553. Sound Doctrine is listener-supported. Simply put, it takes a team to accomplish this goal of reaching people around the world with the sound doctrine contained in God's Word. Whether it's a one-time gift or ongoing monthly support, God is using it in great ways to impact people with His life-changing truth. You can make a secure donation online at sounddoctrineradio.org. Or again, call 800-353-7553. If you've been blessed as you've studied along with Pastor Jeff, please let us know. Email us today at sounddoctrine@calvarydowney.org. Please mention the station that you listen to and tell us what the Lord is doing in your life. That's sounddoctrine@calvarydowney.org. Come back next time when we'll have another study in Matthew's Gospel for you here on Sound Doctrine with Pastor Jeff, a presentation of Calvary Chapel Downey.